We're doing the Drashat Ramban, and we had learned last week that when the Torah describes the settling of the Nevuah on Avraham Avinu, and the Torah uses four terms to describe the fear that enveloped Avraham Avinu, the Torah is alluding here to the four exiles that were still to come to the Jewish people. And the Ramban had explained how each term refers to a different exile. And it was correctly pointed out, I don't remember by whom, one of you guys pointed out, that it would seem that the Torah's description of the four exiles is out of order, because it's not in chronological order. So the Ramban continues and says like this, V'inei, Ramazlo, Bavel v'Yavan shem kashim ze'ach al ze. The fact that initially the Nevuah describes Babylon, Ema is Babylon, and then it says Chashecha, darkness, that's Yavan, the Greeks, and then Gdola, awesome, that goes on to Madai, and then Nofelet, that's Edom. So what's the order? So he says like this, Babel and Yavan were most difficult, so that's why it began with those two. So even though technically the order was Bavel, Madai, then Yavan, but the description went Bavel, Yavan, and then Madai. Why is Madai left for third, out of order? Because Madai was probably the easiest exile we were in. The Medes treated us very well. There was that one period, the few months, where we had an issue with Haman, who wanted to wipe us out. But when you look at the whole period, the period under the Medes was a relatively easy exile. It was easier than all the rest. They're the ones that took us out of slavery. Meaning when the Babylonians exiled us, we were slaves. The Medes released us from slavery. And it was a relatively good galus. They're the ones that built the second base in England. They funded it. They sent us back to the land of Israel. When it comes to exiles, the Mede exile was probably the best exile we ever had. I mean, compared to everyone else. There was a period when they wanted to annihilate us, and they came very close. But, no, I wouldn't say that, because there's a story about the sun and the wind that had a contest. There was a guy walking down the street, and the wind said, I'll get his jacket off. So the guy is walking, and the wind starts blowing at him, and blowing and blowing, and the jacket starts coming off, and he grabs his jacket and binds it tighter on him, and the wind blows harder, and the jacket is held tighter, and the wind tries and tries and tries, and whatever it does, the guy just tightens his jacket around him, and the jacket doesn't come off. So the sun says, watch this, you stop. The wind stops, and the sun starts beaming down at the guy. And after a few seconds, the guy, it's hot, takes off his jacket. So the same thing, you the Philo, you're saying America's like the sun. Sometimes the sweet way is more effective and more dangerous than the ones that come head on. How many people are intermarrying today?
Yes, it's like also now I'm running a lot with bikes, and it's more dangerous to go down. It's very difficult sometimes to go up, but it's not dangerous because you can control. But when I'm going to Hadassah, Kerem at the moment, it goes down, and it was I was in a very dangerous situation because it goes down, it's so quick, so nice. You are losing control sometimes. It's like America, also it's great speed, great money sometimes, and like in Shavua, Lyosha Kafki, Altish Kafki, with Hakim Hashem.
Yeah, so the Mede Empire technically wasn't so bad, so that's why it was left for third. The Edom Ba'achona, and the reason Edom had to be last, the reason the Mede Empire couldn't be last, Shiyan Ofel Talav Basof, because the last thing the Jewish people have to contend with is the exile of Edom. Achei Kitmit Taldimato, until Avram awoke from that deep, we'll call it sleep, Vayomer LeAvram, and God said to him, Yadoa Teida, I want you to know that your children will be sojourners in a foreign land. After God alluded to the galuyot that were still to come for his children. Amalo ala galut arishon, then God overtly told him about the first galut, which is galut Mitzrayim. Meaning we have four after we enter Israel. And then there's the one that's the galut Mitzrayim, where it all began. Yadoa teida ki kodem shetirash et haaretz hazot asher ani noten lecha. You have to know that before you inherit this land I'm giving you, there will be sojourners in a land that's not theirs, because God isn't ready yet to give Avram's offspring this land of Israel. Va'avadum, and they will serve them, v'inu'otam, and they will afflict them, al-bamot shana, 400 years, ki yaseh lahim od ra'ot, they will do other bad things to them, v'yeh kol ha'girut v'inu'y al-bamot shana. The 400 years is a reference to the encompassing altogether the period that your children will have to suffer before they can head to the land of Israel. It will be 400 years. And that's how it was 400 years. From the time Yitzchak was born till they left Egypt, you have 400 years. So Hashem says, you should know, your children are going to be strangers. They're not going to have it easy. And it'll reach a point where they'll actually be slaves and tortured. And all of this will take 400 years. So we have to know that the 400 years doesn't refer to the last two words in the pasuk. They will work for them and they will be tortured 400 years. That didn't happen. We were in Egypt all 210 years. The prophecy is, you know your children will be strangers. And they will reach a point that they will be put into forced labor. And they will reach a point that they will be tortured. And all of this will encompass, all of this will take 400 years. And God says, He promised Avram, and I will judge the nation that they serve. I'll avenge your revenge from them. They'll leave with great wealth. The fourth generation will come back. God said, you should know, when will the Emori have enough sin to deserve leaving the land of Israel? Fourth generation. God doesn't say an exact year. They have Tzirah Hoshi. This is a nice concept. God says a generation. Kizel min adverim she'Avram rotzeh bitachon shelo yeshuvu hem betovad ha'matana. What Avram wants to know is a guarantee that the Emori aren't coming back. Avram says, fine, nations sometimes overtake nations. They'll have the land of Israel. And then maybe the Emori will come back. So God tells him, no. It's an issue of four more generations. And then the Emori will have sinned so much, burned so many of their children at the stake, done so many pagan immoral acts that it'll be over for them. And then they're not coming back. Then you'll have the land of Israel. ויהי השם השבע ועל עתיה והנה כנור עשן ולפיד אש הם הדברים שנבנה הקדוש ברוך הוא בהם גם בסיני גם בכל מקום. It says the sun was setting and suddenly there was a fire, there was an oven of fire, there were all kinds of things suddenly Avram saw. So these are the things, says the Ramban, that God was seen also at Sinai. We see at Sinai a lot of description. There's smoke, there's fire. So there's a pillar of fire within the fire. Wherever God appears, we see descriptions. They split the meat, and God, so to speak, had his fire pass between the meat, and that was the covenant. You guys are familiar with how that was a covenant, right? How they made a covenant. In those days, they take some item, split it in two. Very often it was meat. And walk between it. And that was a way of signing a pact. If I go against my word, I should be split in two like this piece of meat was split in two. That was like our handshake today. Yeah. That was their version of cutting a deal. If that was the norm in Avram's time. What? I don't think. So that's something else. Yeah, when we bring a sacrifice, we put our weight on the sacrifice beforehand. And what we're saying is, technically, I deserve this. But the way I've been behaving, I know technically I should be the one there under the knife. And God did me a favor. He said I could come back to him and recognize that I've done wrong and recognize that the same was on my set. Yeah. Before a person would bring a sacrifice over another area, he'd lean on it. He'd put his weight on it. That's called
Tomeha. So, what question I have now? The Mishnah
Let's see the Mishnah and then we'll talk.
Okay, fine.
So that was the covenant, the Brit and Abdurin that Avram, that God made with Avram. ומעתה, כיוון שניחת הברית, אי אפשר לשום חטא של זרע אברהם ולא לשום זכות העממים לבטל זה. Here the Ramban tells us a powerful point. He says the idea of the covenant was that no sin could undo that pact with Avram. The Jewish people are, God says, they're mine. Nor can any nation merit to overtake them, to be the new chosen nation. And this goes next. Notice how the Ramban built up to this point. He asked God, how do I know I'm going to have the land of Israel forever? You're promising me the land of Israel. So the Ramban spent a long time explaining what was in Avram's question before God. His question was, how do I know this is eternal? So one generation, two generations. How do I know it's eternal? Then God makes the pact and tells him, no. Your children are going to be my chosen nation for eternity, and the land is going to be given to them for eternity. God, they might have to sin and be exiled, and that's why God alludes to the four exiles. There will be periods where, as a punishment, they will be kicked out of the land, but the land is theirs for eternity. And notice how the Ramban says things in passing. Every week we see it again. Here the Ramban showed us, from the story with Avram Avinu, probably the most basic concept in Judaism. What do the other religions say? You sin, you're no longer the chosen nation. God changed his mind, he has a new testament, he has a new chosen nation. The Ramban just showed us that God's pact with Abraham was about just that. That's not going to happen. They will have the land of Israel, but there will be four exiles. God says, it's not like they'll be in the land of Israel and whatever they do, I won't punish them. They will be punished, but the land is theirs for eternity, and they're mine for eternity. And that's why we find Moshe always saying before God, "Asher nishbata lehem bach." You always, Avram, Moshe always refers to God's promise to the forefathers. He said, "You promised." And even when Hashem was most upset at the Jewish people, they did the golden calf. God doesn't say, I'll wipe them out and I'll choose another nation. God doesn't say that. God says, I'll wipe them out and I'll continue the Jewish people through you, Moshe, one of the Jewish people. God doesn't say, so I'll take another nation. Because God is fulfilling his promise that Avram's children are going to be the chosen ones. Now we see how this parsha refers to all the future of Avram's seed. Going back to the point we started in a few weeks ago, God was promising Avram, don't worry, you have great wages. Avram says, how do I know this is going to last? Sashem, Utrach Lasoti Motnai, God made a condition, Lomar, to say, Etiv Lezaracha Leolam, I will do good on your seed for eternity. But I reserve the right to punish your children. And that's why within this whole promise, God's promising them that they'll be good, they'll be my chosen nation, they'll have the land of Israel. And within all that, we have this vision of all four exiles. Why? God was saying, don't think I'm making a promise, they're my chosen people and they can do whatever they want. No. There's still that condition. I still reserve the right to exile them and punish them. And if they misbehave, there's still the potential for all the four exiles that unfortunately came to be.